that if you're putting God first, you're also prioritizing family relationships. You don't need to be in this thing all the time. And I'm going to give you something that works. I am going to suggest to you that I got three fingers pointing right at me, okay? We need to be fully present when we're with our family, not distracted by social media, text messages, and cell phones. Here you go, you're talking about praying. Well, let me tell you something. If you and I would be habitual in our prayer life, God will be blessing us bountifully. Amen? And it is not just another series of words that we're going to talk about. This is real stuff, and some of it is going to be really, really practical when I get to the point about the one about keeping your family relationships quality. This is just a heads up to you, because one of the things that gets in the way of priority setting is right here. Stuff right here and how to deal with it. I've seen it work. I have heard my daughter and my wife jump on me. I'm going to share that with you in just a minute about this thing. And I know some of you may not be happy with what I'm going to suggest you do tonight, but we need to get serious about setting our priorities, okay? And the priority setting, Joel, are you going to slip the slides or am I? Go ahead and go to the next one. What I want to do is to have a common goal established tonight, that we're going to talk about some methods and some techniques that help you and help me get our priorities straight. Because we have a God that is in control, and we are passionate followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be about using techniques that are biblically based on getting our priorities straight. Okay? And the first one I want to share with you is that we need to be in the Word praying the Word. We need to go ahead and put that one up, because in your references tonight, that first blank is, I ask you that you pray every day. I ask that you do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. And that verse, if you don't remember anything tonight, is asking and demanding, literally, that we take our request to God. And if you don't ask God, you're missing out on a wonderful point. This is alive and well that you can connect as a follower of Christ, and you will get clarity from God. If you ask, He will not fail. He will answer. And oh, by the way, He won't always answer what you want Him to answer. It won't be on the same timeline, and you all know I'm ready, fire, aim. I ask, I want to see it right now. Help me, get it right now. That's not the way prayer works. But I ask that you take the time, and here's some techniques that I want you to just do a sanity check on. And I know many of you, possibly all of you, already use these techniques. But you got to remember, I'm talking to a bunch of 20-year-olds, and these kids needed to hear this. So if I offend you because I'm talking down to you, tough luck. These work, okay? And it's just a matter of, I need you to promise yourself that you will set a specific time every day to pray. It can be morning, evening, night. It can be any time you want it. But just set a goal to pray every day at a specific time. Driving to work, riding the Metro, riding the VRE Express for 30 years in Washington, I learned how to pray on a train. I learned how to pray driving in a public transportation mode where we had more than two people in a car. You could pray. And you can do the same thing here. I also suggest, I found this very fortunate, to create a space where you pray. What do you mean, space? You might have a room. You might have a pond that you go sit beside when you pray. But be intentional about doing that. And this is one that I got to tell you, it works. A prayer journal. If you will write in your Bible what you pray for, you would be amazed what God does to answer your prayer. We had something called prayer circles where kids would come together every week and we would pray and we kept a journal of what we prayed for. And during a course of a year, many of those prayers were answered. But if you write in your journal what you're praying for, it helps you do the next one. Stay focused on making petitions to God. Please do that. I also learned from Lynn Anderson, my mentor in becoming a shepherd. Lynn Anderson taught us to pray the psalm. Take any chapter in the book of Psalm and pray the narrative that's in that book, a chapter. I love Psalm 90. And you just, Father God, help me as I do this. I am praying this prayer from David. Try that. It really is something that you'll become addicted to. Lastly, praying every day. Folks, let yourself be vulnerable. God already knows it, so just be vulnerable enough to express it. Okay? So, next one, chart up, please. Get in the Bible. I learned from Lynn to choose a translation. If I ask you right now, what's the translation Shaq has told y'all he loves, what would it be? The Message. Okay? I also use the NIV. Have been blessed with a book that has, it's the Bible that has the NIV on the left, and it has the Message on the right. And I can use those in concert with reading. And Glenn Presser used to tell me, well, you know, if you're not in the King James, you're really not in the real Bible. So work with me here, okay? Just choose a translation and use it. Use a commentary. Ask an elder. Ask a member that you trust what their thoughts are about any studies that you're doing. You won't find in the Bible that there is a command to study the Bible. But you see many examples, like I've put up here, where if you know that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. There's also an Old Testament from Joshua that talks about meditate on the law, be careful to do all that is written. And Ron Moore's going to correct me right now. Go ahead. Study yourself. There you go. You're right. Everybody get that. There is a Bible reference for studying, and it's from Timothy. Study to show yourself approved. Okay. And in that, when you're studying to show yourself approved, you are what? Examining the Scriptures. So, choose a translation, use a commentary, and pray that what you read will touch your heart. What are some other ideas about studying the Bible? How do you study the Bible? Some of you, help me here.
Subjects.
Okay.
Clarify your mind.
Okay. Anybody else? Technique? Ruth Hemphill, help me.
We've been watching those Bible Project overviews of the books, particularly before Neil's been speaking on Sunday mornings on the Minor Prophets, and sometimes it's nice to get a good overview so that when you're reading then you have a better understanding of what you're looking for, because that Bible Project a lot of times will go through the history and where it references other books of the Bible so that when you read you have a better understanding.
Way to go. Excellent. Bill? Beautiful. Excellent ideas. Yes, Monty Betts, please.
I find that I study harder if that's to teach a class. Or if someone has asked me about something and they're expecting me to get back and help them look at that topic or that part of the scripture, because I feel, hey, I've got to get this thing right. I've got to really get into it so I can be ready to help these other people. So being a teacher or a helper or being available to talk to them if they have a question, that will help them understand. You better be ready, or else.
You teach, you learn, probably more than a student does. Eric, if you would, up here with Anita.
Sometimes I find that if I just wake up during the middle of the night, or if I cannot sleep, I think, you know what, I feel like this is God saying you didn't have enough time for me during the day, so I'm going to make some time right now. And so I will pray. And then I will open the Bible, and wherever it opens, I'll start reading from there, and I'll think, what is he trying to show me? And it's usually something I need.
Amen. You see what this sharing will get us? That's just this gleam in people's eyes, like, I never thought of that before. Unlike you, Anita, when I close my eyes at night, I'm like a dead man. I'm out. Like a limp, but I don't snore much. Okay. All right, the bottom line, get in the Word. That's the fun part of this, is that these techniques are something that we can do. All right, next up, Joel or Robert. We need to take advantage of not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the habit of some, but exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It is amazing how we can see visitors that come in here, and they will acknowledge, I sure am glad I came today. And COVID shut us off for a while, but we're not shut off. God is blessing us with people coming in here like crazy right now. And many of you know that we had families that had missed for 2 or 3 years to come back into the assembly. And to show you what fellowship and participation can do, there is a young family right now that came back to Vacation Bible School. And the first thing that the young lady said to me was, I want you to tell Brother Love how much I appreciated his encouraging card that he sent us. I don't know who he is, but I can tell you, because of his written word to us, we decided to come to Vacation Bible School. She came to the parenting class in Vacation Bible School members in this church because she came home and experienced the fellowship that she had missed for 4 or 5 years. Her bottom line was, thank the church for not forgetting me and my family. That's a testimony that proves what we learned in Hebrews. And look at what 1 Peter 4 says. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful servants, faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Find a way to be actively enjoying fellowship from your fellow Christians. Find the way on all that list that you see every week in the bulletin, all the ministries that are going on here, let somebody know you want to work. I didn't tell him I was going to talk about him, but I got a guy sitting right over here who placed membership. And the first thing he said was, I want to get to work. Mike McLean, thank you, brother. And he says, I really like to do buildings and grounds stuff. Okay? That's the kind of tell somebody what you want to do. And the Lord brought him to us because we needed somebody doing that. He's on a project right now trying to get us a new sign out here. Okay? Happy, and let somebody know, and you'll get connected. One of the ladies told me to mention, be sure and encourage everybody to volunteer with friends. It's really fun. Messengers of Hope, Bill and Ruth will tell you, Chris Ray will tell you, the group that goes up there are friends because they serve together and work together. Okay? Try it. You'd be surprised how exciting it is. All right, next up. This one's a toughie. Well, I don't know why you're telling me that. I come on Sunday morning, I come on Wednesday night. I'm putting God first. Well, what about self? Are you putting yourself sometimes first? We all have our warts. We all sin and fall short of God's glory. But we have our Lord who, if you put Him first, He will not fail. Seek ye first His kingdom, and everything else will be added. If you but seek Him first. If we put ourselves first, when something good happens, we congratulate everything. But when something else happens bad, what happens? Oh, it's poor me. Okay? And Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In your ways, submit to Him and He'll make your path straight. Seek God's what? His guidance. Through all those things we've talked about, get yourself in alignment. And oh, by the way, all these friends that you have out here, if you ask them how they do it, they'll answer you. For example, right now, somebody tell me, how do you prioritize putting God first? Give me an example. What do? Do you talk to others? Do you go to lunch and you talk about God? Do you ask people where they need help? God will tell you and will guide you to doing that if you'll just get out of your all about me mode and get into sharing mode through communication. Bill, help me. Eric, you got it back there?
Right, this ties directly back into the scriptures that we looked at just in the in the point ahead of this, when we look at Hebrews 10:25, it talks about not forsaking the assembly, but we often just glance over the preceding verse says, always be considering how you can encourage one another. I remember the first time I gave that to my middle school class, they said, what? It's my responsibility to encourage other people? Yeah, that's what it says here. Consider how you may encourage other people. That takes you right out of the me-centric thing. The last part of Hebrews 10:25, after it says, don't forsake the assembly, says, encouraging each other all the more as the day approaches. A big part of why we assemble together, on top of the elements of worship, is to encourage one another and to be God's arm in providing that spiritual encouragement and an uplift to all of those around us.
Amen. You got something? Chris, you got something? Eric, please.
You know, as far as putting God first, you know, there's things that we have to do that sometimes conflict with meeting with our brothers and sisters and coming and getting, you know, Wednesday night lesson and all of that. But there's also things that we all do that aren't part of making a living, but we want to do them because we want to be part of this or part of that. One of our children was on a very successful high school basketball team, and she went to the coach and said, can we get off early, go to church on Wednesday night? And no one else had wanted to ask, and he said, yeah, I'd like to do that too. So they started ending their practice 15 minutes before church started so they could all, that wanted to, go to church. And a couple of the other girls said, why didn't I think of that? And you know, there's multiple opportunities, whether it's, you know, traveling sports for your kids or other things that pull us away from putting God first and putting our brothers and sisters first. And we make those difficult choices to decide, are we going to let, you know, these things be my priority right now? Or are we going to let, you know, God and our brothers and sisters be our priority? And yeah. Oftentimes all you have to do is ask. All the times you have to do is, I mean, I was involved in a medical leadership organization that was a volunteer thing, and they met on Wednesday nights, and I said, I can't do that. And they said, well, if we change to Thursday night, will you do it? And I said, yeah. Well, one of the other guys said, I was president of this before, and now I'm doing another office, but I never thought about that, and I missed church for years. And so, you know, it won't always work because they may not change, but you, all you got to do is ask.
Just ask. Okay, stop being about self. Get out of your shell. Encourage others. Take a shot. Ask. Maybe God will bless you with a yes. Next one. This is in honor of my brother Jack over here, Beaverland. Rest in peace, brother. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. Think about how you can, in your neighborhood, love your neighbor. We don't have to go to the Dominican Republic to do this. We got right outside our door neighbors and friends. My suggestion is that if they know that you are a passionate follower of Christ, you'd be surprised how many times they'll ask you to pray for them. And it's all about getting outside your garage. Instead of closing the door when you drive in, stop outside and talk to them sometime. Walk down the street. And my wife is going, well, you don't walk with me enough. Well, we'll get to that a little bit. But I'm serious about being kind to those neighbors around you. I'm serious about treating those people, those neighbors, the same way you would like to be treated. Okay? That's what loving your neighbor is all about. And then you'd be surprised it might lead to them attending your life group. Yep, that happens. Take them a meal to them when they're having some medical issues. That's being kind to your neighbor. Somewhere along the line, you may be blessed with the opportunity to share God's word with them. Okay? Give it a chance. All right, next up. All right. Ephesians 5 says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. And I'm making this very profound statement that we need to be all aware that we got to put priority on our family relationships. Okay? How many times have you been in a restaurant and you see couples having a meal in a restaurant and have you seen that? If you've been in a restaurant where I am, you see me doing it all the time. Okay?
You're not guilty.
Yes, that's right. The word I'm trying to carry to you tonight in this relationship is prioritization and how to do it better. I'm suggesting to you that if you're putting God first, you're also prioritizing family relationships. You don't need to be in this thing all the time. And I'm going to give you something that works. I am going to suggest to you that I got three fingers pointing right at me, okay? We need to be fully present when we're with our family, not distracted by social media, text messages, and cell phones. And by doing that, we can better engage by looking each other in the eye and by listening better and scheduling better to have a date night, to have some family time. Do something that brings the family into a quality relationship better than ever. And I love what I learned many years ago. Undercommit and overdeliver. You don't have to go tell Cindy, Shaq told me he's going to give you 40 hours a week to nothing but pay attention to you. I might say, Brother John, I'm going to give Cindy 4 hours this week. I've undercommitted because I know I can do that, and maybe I'll deliver 10 to her. But the thing that I had to do was learn to talk to her by first listening, because I was the worst listener in the country. And I'm suggesting to you that if you listen to your family members, they will be happy. And first of all, you'll be happier because you're engaging in a quality conversation. So here's what I want you to do with social media. I want you to schedule 3 times a day that you will check mail on your phone. 3 times a day. That's under committing. Some people might want to put 6 times a day. Whatever you can honor to do, do it. Commit a time that you will check messages on your phone. It might be 10 a.m. in the morning. Might be 6. Bottom line, put 3 times, starting with 3. Make that commitment that you'll do that. And then choose amongst those 3 times, I want you to build a list of very important people in your life. I call them VIPs. iPhone calls them favorites. Androids calls them people. Whatever you do, I want you to designate a list of VIPs that you know. Certainly, Cindy, Wendy, Lindsay, my kids, elders, that's on my VIP list. Sandy West on my VIP list. Children's ministry, teen ministry. Those are my VIPs. If you will say to your VIPs, I'm changing my technique. I am going to only check my mail from the world and from you, my text messages, at three different times during the day. Okay? Tell them that. And then make one star that says, however, if you ever call me on the phone, I will answer that phone. I will not send you back a text that says I'm busy. If you're on my VIP list and you call me, you will get a personal answer. I promise you, brothers and sisters, that when you do that, you have just given priority to family relationships better than ever before. It will work. And I think you will be rewarded because you'll find out you have more time than ever to get involved more than ever. Just try it. I challenge you to do that. Okay? All right. Next one. That's the give your priorities to your family. Next one is something that this church already does better than any church I've ever served with, and that is that you practice responsible stewardship. This church recognizes that everything belongs to the Lord. This church purposes. This church plans. You are stewards who do that. Thank you for the time and the effort that you do to honor God, that you have been blessed, you purpose, you plan, and God will give the benefit. Because, as we learn in 2 Corinthians, if there's willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Okay, next one. Practice self-care habits. I'm 219 pounds of rolling fat tonight because I do not heed the warning. I was 226 before Monty Betts started getting me out twice a week to play golf. Now I'm moving, and I haven't done what's on here, though. I'm not eating nutritious foods, but I'm asking you to do that. When I know Chris Kent is going to be at breakfast, I will surprise him and I might have an avocado toast. Okay? Find a way to eat nutritiously. Get some rest. Get regular exercise. Keep moving. Y'all have seen how my 93-year-old mother-in-law moves. She takes that roller and she'll roll right over you because she believes in keeping moving. Find a way to do that. We don't have a problem here with number two, avoiding bad habits, smoking, excessive drinking, or drug abuse. There are cases where that has blown up in families. I have a family member that's that way. But there's hope because people are exampling for him, and we pray for him. Abstain from sexual immorality. You know what all that means? That's a way to practice self-care. Think about cultivating self-control over your desires and impulses. Think about the consequences of bad habits. That's the way that you practice self-care. All right, next one. When the devil sees a man or a woman who really believes in prayer, this writer says he trembles as much as he ever did. The Bible tells us, 1 John 2, 15-17, some guidance right out of the Word. Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with Father God. It just isolates you from him. The world and all its wanting, wanting, wanting is on the way out, but whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. Sin has consequences, and that consequence thought process will help us avoid sin. It will help us resist the devil, because if we resist him, what happens? It says that he will flee from us. It won't come easy. It never has. But if we call on God, he will not fail us. Stay humble acknowledges that we are weak and we have vulnerabilities. And what I love about our eldership, we are mentoring each other. And so are you, church. When you contact us, when you talk to us, when you pray for us, when you write to us, you are mentoring us. And Lord, 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 help me say this clearly. It is so exciting that you're helping us resist the devil. Please don't stop doing that. Okay? Set your goals as the next one that honor God. Set your goals to honor God. Oh, so how do you honor God? Help me. How do you honor God the rest of this week? What do you do? Eric, Miss Chris?
By serving others.
Boom. What a great idea. Serve others. All right? Ron.
You know, watching quite a bit of TV, as I confess to do, you hear people, and you hear it everywhere, is they use God's name in vain so much. It's so belittling to God that they don't really realize, my God, they say, you know, when they're making an exclamation. They don't realize what they're doing. And we've just abused that to the point that we use him in not only abusive language, but in exclamations and so forth.
Okay. We need to be aware of that. How many of you are experienced colorful vocabulary from some of the people you deal with? How many of you put up with cussing by somebody else? I find that if you would say to that person, you know, I really don't like to hear those words. Could you just sort of tone it down a little bit? You don't have to preach to them. Just suggest to them that they refrain from saying that. Bob, help me there, buddy.
Not long ago, a guy rattled off a couple words to me, and the next thing I said was, "And where do you go to church?"
Okay, that'll work. That'll work. In my Army days, I had the best recruiter in Albany, Georgia, and I got a call from the president of Albany State College asking me, would I please come over and talk to him along with the sergeant. I said, is he in trouble? He says, no, he just doesn't know how to talk without cussing. And I want you to talk to him and tell him that I'm barring him from the school. And he was the best recruiter in South Georgia. He just believed that cussing was adjectival highlights. That's how he had grown up, that if the more you cuss, the more effective you are. And suggest to our colleagues that it's sort of offensive. I won't call any names, but Monty will know who I'm talking about. Last week, Monty was sick, and I had breakfast with one of the colorful guys at the golf course, and I just mentioned very casually, today, I wonder if every time you hit a bad shot, you would just say something other than cuss words. This past Tuesday, he was playing horrible golf, and instead of cussing four words on 18 holes, every hole, he, two words in the whole 18 holes. All because an old man asked him to refrain from doing it. Never talked about scripture, just talked from the heart. And if you have that situation, I suggest you do the same thing. It won't always get a home run, but at least you're honoring God. Okay? And finally, the last one says what? Jeremiah 11, what does it say? God has a plan for us. Is that right? Do you believe that? Do you believe God has a plan for you? I believe it. I know you trust God that He has a plan for you. So, the bottom line takeaway tonight is, of all those 12 techniques that we talked about, Brent Bird is going to sum it up for us. What do you got, Brent?
I'm not going to sum it up, okay. But I'm going to encourage you. This is a scripture. I didn't know it was out of Jeremiah. It's in my Bible. I have quotes in my Bible that I'll send to my daughters a lot. And one that they hear often, have heard often during their high school and college years was this scripture. I also sent it to a young lady who's had a really tough go in life. A young lady at 21 found out the man that she called father her whole life wasn't her biological father. But she loves him and he loves her. And I used his love for her to explain he chose to love her. He didn't know that. He didn't divulge it the entire 21 years of her life that he wasn't her biological father. He really treated her like she was his favorite child. And I brought her awareness to that, and she would even acknowledge that she probably is, of the three children, the favorite child, the youngest of the three children. But I send this to people who don't even know God that says, our Creator has a plan for you. Wake up. There is a Creator, and He wants to do good things for you. He wants to honor you. He wants to give you good things to do in life, to have in life. He wants to shower His blessings on you. And that's encouraging. It's encouraging to me. Is not an old guy quite yet, but getting there. And even, I don't care what age you are, this scripture to me can be very encouraging if you'll listen to it.
Amen. Thank you very much. I ask you to take the challenge home with you that answers this question. What changes do you need to make in the way you're setting your priorities on your journey with Christ? What changes do you need to make? Father God, we love you and we praise you. Thank you for being here tonight with us. Thank you for the participation within the membership here. Father, we're blessed because of you being in charge. May we listen, may we serve, may we bring joy, and may we honor you with our lives. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, and the whole church said, amen.